Well, it's finally here. Like Christmas, it finally got here, didn't it? If you would open your Bibles with me to Psalm 92. I'd like to begin our weekend reading this precious Psalm, Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I'll triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works! And thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked springeth the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt, like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Let's bow together in prayer. Our great God, our holy, sovereign, and merciful Heavenly Father, we bow in your thrice holy presence this evening, thankful that in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ we can come before a throne of grace and call you our Father. Oh, how thankful we are. And Father, we're so thankful that you have brought us to this time and this place. And Father, I beg of you that you would meet with us this weekend in the person of your Spirit and enable us to worship. I pray that you bless these men that you've brought our way, that you bless them mightily in preaching, that you fill them with your Spirit, and that you'd open their mouth and enable them to, in clear and simple terms, proclaim the glory of Christ our Savior. And Father, I pray you'd unstop our ears and that you'd open our hearts as we listen, that you'd apply your word to our hearts, enable us to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thrill our hearts one more time at hearing of his great mercy, his great love for his people, who would cause him to be sacrificed to put away our sin. Father, let us be taken up with Christ our Savior. We're thankful for the time of fellowship, seeing friends from other places. But Father, set our affection on your word, on the preaching of your word, that we might know and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his precious name, for his glory, we pray. Amen. Now, there are probably several housekeeping issues that I'm forgetting. We'll just get through the weekend as it goes. But we'll tell you this, tomorrow evening at 6 p.m., we're going to have a cookout at Simpson Valley. And if you're not from here and you don't know how to get there, ask somebody that looks like they belong here, and we'll get you there, okay? So I think that's it. So, Isaac, you come, please, in our singing, if you would.
Stand and turn to page 1.
Defender, the ancient of days. merciful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It screams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Well, children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor by me to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Stay standing and turn to 206.
Grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. The matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, preaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, preaching the most devout. By its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name.
You may be seated.
Before Todd comes and preaches for us, David Edmondson is conceded to sing us a special. We're putting him to work this week, but he said yes, so we let him.
Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
A song a man can sing like that and preach. Something else, isn't it? Oh, blessed man. Well, our first
speaker this evening, Pastor Todd Nybert, needs no introduction from this place. He's Ashland's favorite son. And just one of my dearest, dearest friends. And a faithful, faithful, gifted preacher of the gospel. Todd, we're very anxious to hear what the Lord's given us. You've given it. You come preach to us.
Would you turn with me to Mark chapter 1? While you're turning there, I'm just so happy to be with you. I guess it's been 3 years. Because of, you know what? But it is such a blessing to meet with you. I'm thankful to be here. And verse 40. And there came a leper to him. What does it mean to come to Christ? What does it mean? I don't think we could possibly consider anything any more important than that. What does it mean to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? In John chapter 6, verse 37, the Lord identifies this as the evidence of election. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The evidence of divine election. The Lord said to a group of people in John chapter 5 verse 40, you will not come to me that you might have life. Coming to Christ, whatever it is the act of spiritual life. Those who have spiritual life come to Him. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, to whom coming? Not to whom you came, not to whom you intend to come, but to whom coming? You see, this is designed for unbelievers. I want you to hear what coming to Christ means, and it's designed for believers. This is something that identifies what a believer is. He's someone who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean to come to Christ? Let me read you some other scriptures. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride, God the Holy Spirit and the church, this is their message. Come. Not go and do. Not get this straightened out first. Not stop doing this before you come. Right now, come to Christ. Let him that heareth say, come. That is the message of the gospel. Not go away. Not wait till you get better. Not wait till you learn more. Not wait till you have more victory over sin. Right now, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He that's athirst, let him come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, laboring under a burden of sin. Heavy laden under the crushing weight of your own sin. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, the Lord's enabled to do that. with these scriptures in mind, what does it mean to come to Christ? If I don't personally come to Christ, I won't be saved. If you don't come to Christ, whatever that means, you won't be saved. If I don't come to Christ, I'm going to hear those awful words, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." I don't want to hear those words. What does it mean to come to Christ? Now, you came to church tonight. And what you did, you came from point A to point B. And you know what it took to get there. But this is not at all like that. You see, coming to Christ is nothing physical. It's spiritual. It's done in the heart without making a move. And it's not a long journey. You arrive at the destination as soon as you come. What does it mean to come to Christ? Now, the only way that can be answered is from the Scriptures. Because if I tell you what I think it means to come to Christ, all I'm going to do is darken counsel with words without knowledge. I'm going to confuse you and I'm going to confuse myself. So this is not something I'm trying to come up with a good way to explain it. The only way we can really see how a sinner comes to Christ is by looking at an example of a sinner who did in fact come to Christ. And that verse of scripture I just read says, "And there came a leper to him." Now, whatever it is to come to Christ, it's to come the way this man did. There came a leper to him. Now, you'll not find anything in the Bible about coming to him by responding to an altar call. That's not in the Bible. Matter of fact, it wasn't found in the professing church for the first 1800 years. That didn't come about until the 1800s. You don't come to Christ by asking him into your heart. What's that mean? You don't come to Christ by accepting him as your personal Savior. Statements like that are really contrary to the gospel. They're foolish. They don't even make sense. Well, what does it mean to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let me say this. I know this man came to Christ. A leper came to him. And in this man, we will see what it means to come to Christ. And I'll tell you what, I want to do that. I want to do that tonight. I want you to do that tonight. Don't you want to come to Christ, whatever it means? Now, I have to begin, would you turn to John chapter 6? This is kind of an odd way. It's the right way to begin, but it may seem odd to begin the message on what does it mean to come to Christ by this statement, "You can't come." Now, that's where we've got to begin. You can't come to Christ. You lack the ability to come to Christ. Now, listen to this scripture, John chapter 6, verse 44. "No man can come to me." He didn't say no man may come, but he said no man can come to me. "Except the Father which has sent me draw him." Now, what are you going to say about that? The Lord said, "No man can come to me." If I'm left to myself, I cannot come. I don't have the ability to come. And that doesn't get me off the hook. That doesn't mean, well, if you can't come, why worry about it? No. That doesn't take away my responsibility to come. But the Lord pointed this out. Look in verse 65. The same chapter. He repeats himself. Therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given to him of my Father. You've never come until you see you can't. This is where we begin. You've not come unless you see personally that you lack the ability to come. Have you ever brought there? I can't come. It's not until you see that you can't that you do. And when you see you can't, that is when you come. You're coming for the right reason. You're coming for life. You're coming for mercy. You're coming. Any other time, if that's not settled, you're trying to strike a deal. You're trying to bargain. You're trying to, I've done this, you do that. Can't come that way. Now, whenever you learn, whenever I learn that I can't come, unless I'm drawn, unless it's given to me, what will I say? Lord, draw me. That's what the Shulamite woman said. Draw me and we'll run after thee. Song of Solomon 1:4. Draw me. Give me the grace to come. Now somebody says, why in the world would you tell people to come to Christ and then tell them they can't? Because the Bible says it. That's enough of a reason. Because the Bible says this. And I love what the Lord said to His servants. Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. Somebody says, how can you call upon men to come to Christ if He didn't die for everybody, if God didn't elect all of them? How can you sincerely do that? Easy. Come to Christ and you'll be received. You will be. You will not be turned away. You come to Christ, you will be received. Now that ought to be encouraging to you. If you come to Christ, you will be received. There's no one in the history of the universe that's ever come to Him for mercy that He turned away. There came a leper to Him. Luke's account says, behold, a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, perceiving who He is. That means more than a physical sight. This man knew who he was. Now this is the very heart and soul of saving faith. Knowing who He is. I'm not asking you if you know you're saved. I'm not asking you if you know you're one of the elect. I'm not asking you if you know that Jesus Christ died for your sins. I'm asking you, do you know who He is? You know, the thief on the cross, when he was first nailed to the cross, he didn't know who he was. But sometime during that time that he was hanging on the cross, he knew who he was. Don't you fear God? Seeing you're in the same condemnation, he knew he was God. We receive the due reward of our deeds. We're getting exactly what we deserve. This man has done nothing amiss. He knew he was. He knew he was sinless. Lord! You reckon people snickered when he said that?
He thinks he's Lord.
He knew he was because he knew who he was. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. I know you're not going to stay dead because I know who you are. Oh, when you come back as a mighty reigning king, remember me. Now what that is knowing who he is. And this leper knew who he was. How do you know? Same way you know him, Revelation. If you know who he is, it's because God has revealed to you who he is. There's nothing more precious than that. To know who he is. He's the Lord. I know that. He's the Creator. He's the Son of God. He's the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He's the one who controls everything. I know who. I know who he is. Now that is the very content of saving faith, to know who he is. What he did is completely dependent upon who he is. And this leper that came to him seeing Jesus, he knew he was God. Now somebody says, how do you know? Well, look at Matthew's account for just a moment. Chapter 8, verse 2. Matthew, chapter 8, verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and what? Worshipped him. Now, he hadn't done anything for this leper yet. And he didn't know whether he would. The leper didn't know if the Lord was going to do anything for him. He came with this request, if you will, you can make me clean, but he didn't know if he would. But he worshiped him before the Lord did anything for him. And here's why. He worshiped him for who he was. Now that's worship. If the Lord let you drop into hell and didn't show you mercy, would he be worthy of worship? Now, we're not going to get anywhere until that's settled. Is he worthy of worship without regard whether he does something for you, if he doesn't do anything for you? Is he worthy of worship because of who he is? The leper knew that. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. Coming to Christ begins with knowing who he is, and you worship him for who he is without reference to what he does for you because of who he is. You see, if you don't come like that, you're coming with a sense of entitlement. You're coming thinking, well, he needs to do this. If I did that, he needs to do this. And you don't come to Christ that way. I can't come to Christ that way. He's to be worshipped for who he is. He's the Lord. He's God. He's the Creator. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's who he is. He's all that God is. Look in verse 2 again of Matthew chapter 8. We'll stay there for a few moments. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord. Every believer, everybody who knows who he is, might be even a better way to put it, knows that he is Lord. Now what's that mean? Well, he's Lord of creation. He spake the world into existence as an act of his own will. He's the Lord of providence. Everything that happens is his will being done. Can't take that too far. He is the cause. And he's Lord of salvation. And that means if you're saved, it's up to Him. Can you say amen to that? I'm not asking you to say it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to look for a response. But my salvation is in His hands. It's up to Him. He's everybody's Lord. I love that scripture in Romans 14:9. Says, For this end Christ both died and revived, that He might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. You know the fellow in Russia? Christ is his Lord. In his hand. Every unbeliever, you know, the goats, they're his goats. He's Lord. He's Lord of the believer. Like Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He is the Lord. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He is the Lord. Now, if I come to Christ, this is not a one-time thing. This is not the way I came when I first came. It's the way I'm coming right now, if I'm coming. This is continual. To whom coming? Now, let's look at what this man did that we know came to him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt. When a sinner comes to Christ, he always acknowledges his sovereignty. You don't come like that, you haven't come at all. Behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will. If you will. Not, Lord, I will that you make me clean. Wow, what insolence. Lord, it would not be fair if I asked you to make me clean and you don't do it. Nothing like that. Lord, if you will. Now, what does his sovereignty mean? It's so simple. It's who he is. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. You see, he has a will. Jesus Christ has a will. God has a will. There is such a thing as the will of God. And not only does he have a will, he has the power to make his will come to pass. We don't. I can will anything, and I, you know, it's powerless. But anything he wills must come to pass. And you know what? He always does make his will come to pass. Where's your God, David? Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. And do I need to say he has the right to do so? Can I not do what I will with my own? Now that's the way this leper came. And if I'm going to come to Christ, I'm going to come that way right now. I'm going to come worshiping Him for who He is. Because I know who He is. And if you know who He is, you'll worship Him. I mean, I have no question about that. You'll worship Him. And you will say, Lord, if you will, my salvation is utterly in your hands. I can't make myself clean. I can't save myself. I can't get you to do anything. It's all up to your will. Lord, if you will, and here's what happens next. You acknowledge his ability. Lord, if you will, you can. If you will, you can. Can you say this? Are you, can you say with this man? You worship him? Lord, if you will, you can. Now, his ability. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Now, do you hear that? Faultless. Before his throne. You know what that means? You have no sin. Faultless. Holy. Unblameable. Unreprovable. In his sight. Faultless. Do you believe he's able to present you that way? You know, I really do. I believe he's able. I love what Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Now, what'd you commit to him, Paul? Lynn and I like to watch those cooking shows. And when the time is up, you know, they hands off. You know, when they do that, hands off. They, you know, say it's over, hands off. Well, they cooked something and they did something, said hands off. And my hands off, I didn't do anything. That's what I'm waiting on. That's what I'm relying on. I'm relying on this, that everything God requires of me, everything He looks to His Son for. And I am relying 100% on that. I don't have a plan B. All my eggs are in that basket. When He said it is finished, my salvation was finished. Do you believe He's able to save you with absolutely no contribution from you? Hebrews 1:3 says, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down. By Himself. That means you didn't have your hand in this. By Himself. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, the way this man came to Christ, he came with some understanding, and I just mean some understanding, of the fact that he was unclean. There is an acknowledgement of my uncleanness. In Luke's account, if you'll turn with me there, I'd like you to see it. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. Full. You know what that means? That means every square inch of his body was covered by leprosy. He was nothing but leprosy. He was nothing but sin. And that's what that means. Full of leprosy. Let me show you something in the Old Testament. Would you turn back to Leviticus chapter 13? I'm sorry, Leviticus chapter 12. No, go back to 13. Leviticus chapter 13. Verse 12. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, Then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, so there's nothing but leprosy, he shall pronounce him, what? Clean. Clean. It's all turned white. He is clean. But when raw flesh appeareth, and that means living, quick flesh. You know, the quick, the living, what still has pay. If there's any good flesh, any healthy flesh, he shall be unclean. What does this mean? It means if I come to Christ with nothing but sin, all I do is sin. I cannot not sin. And I'm not a victim in this. It's all my fault. I can't blame Adam. I can't blame my circumstances. It's all my fault. I can't sit in judgment on anybody for anything. For me to judge anybody would be grotesque hypocrisy. And I have no claim on God by way of merit. When I come altogether from my head to my foot unclean, I'm pronounced clean. And if I have anything good, back to the leper colony. Send him away. Back to the leper colony. Utterly unclean. Now this leper comes unclean. You know, Isaiah said, we're all as an unclean thing. And our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. He came in his uncleanness. But what I love about this man is he came for the right thing. He came to be made clean. Now that's what I need. I need to be made clean. He didn't come to have his marriage improved. He didn't come to have his finances improved. He didn't come to be for help in some kind of trouble he was in. He didn't even come to be saved from hell. He came to be made clean. And that is what I need. I need to be clean before God. I know that because I know who He is. And I know I can't be in His presence unless I'm utterly and completely clean. And I know I can't make myself clean. And I know only He can. Now this is the way this leper came to Him. He came and he worshiped before he received anything from the Lord, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now let's go back to the text in Mark chapter 1. Verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion. Now, anytime any sinner comes to Him like this leper, here we have the description of the God man. He is moved with compassion. You come any other way, he won't be moved with compassion. But you come this way, Scripture says he was moved with compassion. And he put forth his hand and touched him. Now, I am reading something into the text that it doesn't say, but I dare say he had not experienced a human touch in a long time. Would you have touched him? But the Lord, moved by compassion, reached forth his hand and touched that man. You know, when we think of coming to Christ, we could understand why he would not have compassion on us. I can understand why the Lord would pass me by. Do you know what? When we think that way, it's just because we don't know him very well. He delights in mercy. He delights in saving all who come to him. He delights in saving sinners. That's who he is. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will. Be thou clean. Now, if the Lord says you're clean, what are you? You're clean. What he says is as it is. And what happened? Verse 42, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he was cleansed. Now this is important for us to understand this. That leprosy went somewhere, didn't it? It didn't just all of a sudden dissipate. It went somewhere. It departed. It left him. And it went somewhere else. And I know where it went. It was in that cup that the Lord drunk dry in Gethsemane's garden, when all of the sins of all of God's elect were put into that cup, that he said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. And I can't say that, don't understand it, don't know what all that means, but I know this. When he saw that cup, he knew what sin. He knew the evil sin. You and I don't, really. I mean, we know so little, but he took that cup and he drank the content dry. And he was made sin. And that man's leprosy departed from him. That man's sin departed from him and went to the sin bearer. Just like when the high priest put his hands on the head of that scapegoat, and symbolically, all the sins of Israel were transferred to that goat, and he's led by a fit man into the wilderness to be seen no more. It wasn't symbolic with Christ. That sin departed. Christ put it away, and the perfect righteousness of Christ is given to that man, and he is clean. Now listen to me. If you come to Christ, if I come to Christ, like this man did, worshiping, he should be worshiped without reference to what he does for me, whether he does make me clean or doesn't make me clean, he should be worshiped because of who he is. You acknowledge he's the Lord. You acknowledge, if it be thy will, you acknowledge his ability. You can. He came in his uncleanness. Paul didn't say, "Oh, wretched man that I used to be before God saved me. Oh, wretched man that I am." You always come like that. If you will, you can make me clean. The Lord says, with regard to you, be thou clean. And what He says is as it is. Amen. Pastor.
About start bouncing up down my seat. Todd said what his title was. Because those who attend here and hear me preach regularly know I try to say, I hope I remember to say this in every message I preach, come to Christ. Look to Christ. If you ever want to know what that means, just go back and listen to that message. Because that's what coming to Christ is. I'll tell you this, Todd, I came to Christ again tonight. That was so good, wasn't it? So good. All right, we're going to take about a 10 or 15 minute break. When you hear the music start playing, come back to your seat because I don't want to waste no time, all right?